This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Welcome back, listeners.
Hi.
We're recording on Thursday.
Yeah. Whoa, why are we recording on Thursday?
I don't know. Something happened over the weekend.
Well, so there's a few reasons why. I mean, one is that I'm really busy, but the other is...
Like, what did you get yourself into, Dad?
I know, PhD program and lots of reading. But the big thing is we're talking...
No, I'm saying with the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah, and helping you run a new dog treat bakery business. But I think the big thing about recording tonight is we want to get this episode out. You'll probably be hearing it, listeners, on Friday or Saturday.
Probably Saturday.
If you're tuning in. But we wanted to get it out before the Super Bowl because we are talking about...
Save Your Tears by The Weeknd. We just had to do a song by The Weeknd. He's great.
This song is a lot of fun.
Yeah. So is the video.
Also kind of dark and weird and creepy. Yeah. So I guess we should take a moment for our sponsors.
Yes.
All right. I know. Next season, I'm going to record a new sponsor message.
Yeah, you sound so like... I'm so sick, and you know, anchor.fm is the best way to put your podcast out. Like...
Okay, so, anyways, this is our last episode of the season.
Yeah,
episode 10. Let's introduce ourselves again formally. For anybody who's just tuning in, you are...
I'm Willa Krishnaswamy. No one stalked me on the internet. Not that I have a profile on the internet, but don't go searching up Krishnaswamy, Willa.
You are... Okay. And my name is Ravi Krishnaswamy, and I'm your dad. And I'm...
You just bumped the mic stand.
Also, produce some music... Write music.
Oh my God, Dad. You didn't tell people about your business.
Have a business called Copilot Music and Sound.
He literally, like, oh my God, he's his own boss. And he's like, okay, stop, Willa.
We're getting a little wacky here already because it's Thursday night.
Yeah.
It's almost Friday. It's almost Friday.
Yeah, I just fell off my chair. You didn't hear it, but we edited it out.
Yeah, we edited that out. So it's our last episode.
We're doing Save Your Tears. Oh, wait.
I want to thank everybody.
I'm so sorry, people.
Want to thank everybody for tuning listening. In this season.
We actually don't have that many listeners except for our families and people. But, you know, hopefully the algorithm will push us up and, I don't know, recommend people.
We'll get it out there.
Yeah, Dad. Oh, I forgot. I wanted to record some...
Sorry, random drum beat.
Random drum. I was like, what is that? What I was saying is, what I want to do is record, I wanted to record some snippets or clips of this episode because I want to make a trailer for our podcast with some clips of our conversations, some quotes, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know where I'd share that with people other than the Facebook page, Instagram page, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll make a trailer, maybe put it up on YouTube.
Yeah. So we're doing Save Your Tears from Another Day. My excerpt is very bad, so let's play the real excerpt now.
All right, we're going to play an excerpt now. This is The Weeknd. Also, his real name is Abel Tesfaye? Tesfaye?
Tesfaye? I don't know.
Yeah, somebody's going to text me. Probably Jason. He's going to text me tomorrow and tell me that I didn't pronounce it right. Yeah. The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Save Your Tears.
You like this song?
I keep liking it more and more.
It has a great groove, definitely.
Great straight ahead groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me just mention, I don't know, we might have mentioned this, but he is performing at the 2021 NFL Super Bowl Halftime Show! Woohoo! And there are lots of rumors and possible, I'm not going to say this is true, but there are rumors and there are thoughts and some performers who have done collaborations with him might be performing.
Well, the Super Bowl performances often do have, like, surprise guests, cameos,
yeah,
collaborators, duets.
Yeah.
And he's collaborated with a lot of big artists.
Like who? Like?
Like your
Ariana
girl,
Grande.
Ariana Grande. I've heard it being rumored it could be Dua Lipa showing up.
Oh, yeah. I heard that also. Yeah.
He's done work with Kanye West, although I can't see that happening at the NFL right now.
No, I don't think so.
But he's worked with a lot of people.
That would make a whole Us Weekly story.
Yeah.
Kanye West shows up at the Super Bowl. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, Ariana Grande might be pretty cool.
I would totally tune in for that.
So what you were telling me, you read that he spent $7 million on
and
a film?
You did.
Yeah.
No, not on a film. He meant, let's just clear this up. His net worth, according to CelebrityNetWorth.com, is, maybe you should just check this quickly, 100 million, mega million.
Okay,
many.
Why are you looking that stuff up?
No!
I guess that's good research.
No, I wanted to, because I was reading that he spent $7 million of his own money to make kind of a cinematic performance for the Super Bowl. I don't know what he could have paid for, but it could have been, like, Dad, help me out. Light, special
lights. Pyrotechnics. Could be hiring musicians and
could be, like, stuff on his face
dancers.
Because his face has changed a lot.
Yeah, so
we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But, what do you mean? Why should I be? I was Googling something useful.
So when was the first time you learned about The Weeknd? Like, how long have you known about The Weeknd?
Ever since I heard this one song that used to play on the radio. Now it doesn't, but it used to play.
What song is that?
Heartless.
Ah.
Have you heard that song? Now I'm heartless. What if I end up there? Now I'm heartless.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm heartless. How's it singing? Okay. Yeah, that song. It doesn't really play anymore, but obviously we know him from Blinding Lights. I mean, everyone's got to hear the song. If you go to year-end charts, number one song in the Billboard Hot 100, if you...
That song's breaking a lot of records in terms of longevity, like how long it's been...
On the charts.
On the charts. It's been on the charts for like a year, and it's still like in the top 10.
Yeah, it is. If you look at the charts right now, I mean, I'm not saying do that, but...
So I first heard about The Weeknd a couple years ago from my friend Jamie, who is somebody that I've played in bands with and known since college, and we always talked music. And I remember him saying, oh, you got to check out The Weeknd. He's awesome. And I did, but I didn't connect. Where's my fader for that? Sorry. I've got random samples coming up in here.
Yeah.
I didn't connect with him immediately. And then the next time I really got into his music was at the beginning of the pandemic when you and I started making TikToks. Because one of the first TikToks we made was the Blinding Lights Challenge.
I think it's kind of not iconic, but I think it's good we're doing Save Your Tears instead of Blinding Lights.
Well,
because
yeah.
Blinding Lights has been like...
It's been around for a long time. A lot of people have talked about it already. It's been out for over a year.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the song of the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what's really...
I want to spend a moment and talk about a podcast that I really like.
Switched on Pop.
It's a podcast that definitely...
By Vox.
...is a big inspiration for this podcast.
Big, huge, yeah.
The way that they break down songs, production, harmony, compositional techniques.
Oh, Dad, I forgot to mention, when I was talking to Max, for the ending of Hey Jude, you don't have to edit this out because I think it'd be cool for people to hear. So I'm playing Hey Jude.
So, okay, wait. Who's Max?
Piano teacher. Uh-huh. And I'm playing Hey Jude on piano.
Hey Jude by?
The Beatles, obviously. And in the ending, he was talking about in the left hand, maybe adding the fifth. And I was like, I played it and it sounded really cool. And I was like, the difference between a Hershey and a 100 grand.
Ah,
I use that metaphor
use that in
like
your piano lesson.
Every time
the
now.
Hershey and 100 grand
but
harmony.
To sum that up, can you do it? Like, talk about them.
So it's a songwriter and a musicologist, and they talk about pop music. And their latest episode is on Blinding Lights. And so.
No, but talk about where the 100 grand Hershey's come from, because people won't get that. They're like, what?
Oh, they talked about that in terms of like. Harmony that's really straightforward is like a Hershey's because it's just got one flavor and it's kind of smooth. But harmony that's got like lots of different notes going on.
In the episode No Tears Left to Cry, they added in like a... Remember in the chords?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, there was like a note in there that made the harmony crunchy.
Yeah.
Like 100 grand.
Yeah. So, what we were saying was Switched on Pop is a big influence.
It's a big influence, and their latest episode is on Blinding Lights, and they do a really good job of going into some of the references. And we're going to kind of add on to that episode in some ways by doing our episode on Save Your Tears. So Nate and Charlie, if you ever hear this, hello, we love you. And so let's get into our questions on Save Your Tears.
Before we get in, I know we have a lot of questions, but really quickly, before we get in, I feel like it's really kind of iconic odd. It's a weird coincidence, but it's also cool that so always like the lead single on an album like skyrockets. Mm-hmm. Like it's overplayed on the radio or not, but it's mm-hmm. played on the radio a lot. Everyone knows about it. It's heard a lot. The second single, not really so much, unless you're a big fan or something. And then once the first single starts to die down, the second single kind of comes up, like, picks up.
Mm-hmm.
It takes its route on the radio. Like, because of Blinding Lights and then Save Your Tears. And then Bang, and this wasn't in an album, but then AJR came out with like another single after that, so it started playing that.
Bummerland.
And then what's another example?
Well, now Ariana Grande, they're playing 34 plus 35.
Yeah, Positions actually was not played too much.
I think it's been played a lot.
Yeah, it's been played a lot, but like on Hits 1.
Yeah.
But now they're playing 34, 35. And...
Yeah. So I think Blinding Lights was the second single from his record, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I could be wrong about that. But anyway, this is now what's on the radio, Save Your Tears, although Blinding Lights is still everywhere.
Yeah.
And I could see that being the song that... You think that'll be the first song that he plays at the Super Bowl, Blinding Lights?
No.
So if we...
I think that'd be like... The last song? No, actually, I think that might be the first, because get people excited and...
Blinding Lights, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. That'll be the one that he starts with. The one thing, do you remember when I played you A-ha's Take on Me after we listened to, mm-hmm. to Blinding Lights and you heard how similar those keyboard parts were?
Yeah, okay, let's get into the questions.
Yeah, we're going to listen to some more of that stuff.
Okay, so music video question. So what is the whole theme of the music video and why does it seem so creepy? People, if you're driving, if you can't watch the music video right now, I highly encourage you in the future to watch the music video. This will make so much more sense. But if you can't do that right now, Dad, can you give a little summary?
So, first, let's talk about his face.
Yes.
Okay.
We have to. I have a whole separate question about his face.
Right. Okay. So, we'll get to this face. But with this new album, he's always appearing in the same outfit with this, like, red cabaret type jacket and these gloves. And in this video, he's performing in this really like creepy, dark lit dinner theater or like award show banquet theater.
There's masquerades.
And it's a masquerade party.
Except he's not in a masquerade.
Although, is he? Think about it. Is that his real face that we're seeing?
Let's talk about the theme of the music video and what's happening, and then we'll talk about the face.
Okay.
Because the face is a whole nother conversation.
I think the music, I mean, look, I haven't spent a lot of time, you know, researching the film criticism of this video and breaking it down, but I think this song is really bitter and dark, and the video is all about alienation. Like, he's up there performing, and he's performing in front of these people, but he can't see their faces, and they can't really see his face, and
it's kind of like a mini short.
Yeah, but it's all about alienation, and the lyrics kind of go into that. You know, I saw you dancing in a crowded room. You look so happy when I'm not with you. But then you saw me, caught you by surprise, a single teardrop falling from your eye. This is about like a relationship that's in the past. And it's almost about like, I think he's bitter because this person has clearly moved on. But then he's also saying that he's kind of like, on one level, he doesn't want to move on. He's saying, take me back because I want to stay.
And then he's like, I'll make you cry when I run away.
Yeah, I'll make you cry when I run away, but take me back because I want to stay. So he's sort of talking about himself as being like kind of this impenetrable character or this unpredictable character in the relationship. And the other person has moved on. And so I guess the other person has gone through some sadness over the relationship because there's a single teardrop. And then he says in the chorus, save your tears for another day. Is he saying, take me back and you won't have to go through that sadness of our breakup?
I don't really know. I think that. Yeah, but basically the question was, like, why is it so creepy? Like, it gives you chills when you watch the video. It's like, you didn't really describe it creepily, but,
well,
like, describe the aesthetic of the video. That'll make it seem creepy.
Okay, well, so first of all, he's, like, performing to this crowd, and he's almost, like, overly dramatically dancing and performing the song. And then he sort of brings this woman up on stage to dance with him, right?
And then there's a gun.
And then you notice that he has a gun in his hand.
Behind, so the woman can't see it.
And that's when it gets really creepy. Because you're like, because if you're watching the video for the first time, you're like, what's going to happen? What is he going to do? You know, that once you see the gun is concealed, you start to wonder what his motive is and why he has the gun. And so then he starts dancing on his own again, and he's waving the gun around and like fake shooting people.
Yeah.
And it's so creepy. like you haven't seen a lot of movies like this, but I have, where like it reminds me of these like movies where there's violence that happens all of a sudden and you're just not sure when the violence is going to happen, but you see the gun and you know the gun's going to go off and it's going to kill somebody, and so you're just waiting for like, how is this going to happen in the scene? And so you have this total anxiety watching him dance with this gun. And then at the end, he puts it up to his head.
Like he's going to do suicide.
Yep. And then he pulls the trigger and you hear a big bang and you see confetti.
Which I love because like, I'm like, oh my God, what is going to happen? And then it actually made me think of like, no, it actually kind of, because if you notice, he's in a different room.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the girl is pointing the gun at him.
Oh, the girl's pointing the gun at him?
No, do you remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Let me see. Let's scroll back here for a sec.
Right there.
Yeah, that's right.
Click it.
No, well, he puts it in her hands, doesn't he?
I can't tell.
Because he's very vulnerable, like, and he looks like he's troubled and almost suicidal. And he's saying, like, here, shoot me. And then he puts the gun up to his head himself. Wait, is that her gun? Let's see. No, I think it's his.
Sorry, we're watching the video.
This is the bridge when this happens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So here's the gun. Oh, so creepy. I can't watch it. You see the gun in his hand behind his back. And then there's like this flash edit. And you don't see what happens clearly in the video. And then the next shot, he has his hands around her hands and she's pointing the gun at his head.
Yeah. Creepy. But what I was going to say was at the end, after he shoots himself with confetti, there's like applause. Like it sounds like real applause.
Yeah.
So it made me actually think of like a philosophy, because that... possibly like the creepiness before like the applause and he's smiling and it's like he bows. I feel like that was like a whole performance.
Mm-hmm.
Like the creepiness was like him performing that like in an alternate reality and then finishes.
So the real him, we don't see the real him until we see him sort of bow after the confetti?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's layers to this video.
Yeah, so I don't know if I have an actual answer to that question.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question about this.
KK.
So I put on the Blinding Lights video before we started recording. Mm-hmm. Do you think that these videos are connected?
No.
Really?
No. The characters are different. The setting is different. The outfit's the same, but...
But also, did you notice how he gets his... Like, he gets beat up and his face is bleeding by the end of the Blinding Lights video?
Yeah. Well, it is in the beginning.
Yeah.
So but then, he's more beaten at the end.
Also, doesn't this feel like late at night?
Yeah.
It could almost be like later in the same night, or...
We'll have to think on that.
I think there's a lot going on with his videos, and I don't think we've quite unpacked it yet. But we're asking questions about it. Are these two videos related? I think they are, and I think he's scripting this whole persona, which is really interesting. Because also in between these two videos,
yes,
he appeared in a number of places with bandages on his face.
Yeah, I did. Like, no, like, actually him. Like, it's not, like, just to explain to the audience. It's not, like, in a, like, a, like a, he's, it's pretend bandages, like, real bandages.
Yeah.
He's an actual person. He's not acting. It's, like.
He's taking his.
Profile to a.
Persona.
Yeah.
To, like, a whole nother level than a lot of musicians. Like, creating a character out of himself. And telling a story about that character. It's very interesting.
Yeah. I really encourage you guys, because there's another music video here, to pause this and go ahead, put into YouTube or Google The Weeknd. I spelled this wrong. Weeknd without an E.
Right.
End.
Weeknd.
Save Your Tears music video. Watch it. You'll see what we mean. It's creepy. It's creepy. It'll give you the chills. But question two. What did The Weeknd do to his face in the video? And why does it look so different? And like, oh, you know what you should pull up? You should see if there's like a regular Weeknd and then Save Your Tears face video again, just to see.
Well, we saw the two videos side by side.
Yeah.
What I found when I was reading about this is, I mean, it's obviously
plastic surgery.
Fake.
Yeah.
It's not real plastic surgery.
Oh, it isn't like kind of makeup and.
Yeah, it's prosthetic.
Which is like really good makeup that like makes it.
Well, but it's weird. It's made to look like bad plastic surgery. Which is so interesting because he's been appearing with these bandages. I think this whole thing is like a metaphor for like his
soul.
His face
or no.
is like what the world is seeing, and he's like he's sort of reinventing himself in real time in front of people.
Hmm. Okay, so what did he do with his face? Like, what was the research you did?
There's no magic research that I uncovered. I think everybody's wondering, like, what is he going to look like at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Maybe we should record, like, a little reaction to the Super Bowl performance afterwards and put that up as a bonus.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So you think prosthetics probably.
I think it's prosthetics. I think it's
all. It's not his real face.
No. It's all part of like
the whole story.
An artistic statement.
And yeah.
It's performance art. That's what it is.
He's
going beyond the writing of the song and the recording of the song as an artist. And he's actually using his face as a site for artistic inquiry.
Yeah, cool. That's awesome.
But it makes his performance, that's what makes his performance so creepy in the video.
Because it's not prosthetics, but because it's he's creating a character, and because it's a performance. And
he's got like, there's something about his dancing and his like overly demonstrative grooving to the song with his like really puffed up static face that barely shows his facial expressions. Is something about that combination is very disconcerting to me.
What does that mean?
Like troubling.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's interesting. I've never seen an artist do this with their profile persona.
Well, it's funny because it reminds me of the video that when I was growing up, I was really scared of.
Thriller.
Yes. Which also also involves.
I am scared of that video. Mommy tried to show me the video, and he turns into the wolf, and I'm like, I'm on to Michael Jackson, but like, no, I am not watching this. It's creepy. It's like.
Well, think about the parallels. A black artist that's got an amazing, flexible, soulful voice with a huge range. Very expressive.
Yeah, what is his awesome, vocal range?
Awesome singer. And Michael Jackson had the whole red coat thing.
He did?
Yeah, it was like a leather coat or like a patent leather thing, but it was also a red coat, and he had this glove. He had this really specific look.
Wait,
and,
the Weeknd is R&B, right?
Well.
Kind of.
What I'm going to argue is that both Michael Jackson and The Weeknd like transgress, or they transcend R&B. As a genre, they come from R&B, and but they transcend and they bring in all sorts of other influences into their music, and they make just really good pop music that draws from other places than R&B. And that's what. So I think there's like this totally interesting connection between Michael Jackson and with The Weeknd going on right now with this red jacket and this persona and. Also, two other things, Willa. One, Thriller creeped me out, and Michael Jackson wears facial prosthetics in Thriller to make himself look like a werewolf, right?
Yeah, also question.
Oh, no, he is a werewolf at one point, and then he's a dead person.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot about that.
Is, have other people been talking about this?
He's not a werewolf. What am I talking about? He's just a dead person. But he has the werewolf eyes. All right, everybody's going to send me hate mail. I dislike that video so much that I block it out. Sometimes.
No, I don't like the video. Like, the songs, I don't really know the song, but the video just creeps me out.
But also...
It's like he leans in for a kiss and then he turns into a wolf, or no, he turns into a...
Well, I think he turns into a werewolf and then...
No, his face turns into
a werewolf. And then he becomes a dead person, a zombie.
If I said that wrong, I'm not from the 80s. I didn't watch Endless MTV, so I don't know this video very well. But
here's the other thing. Michael Jackson also had a lot of plastic surgery.
He did.
In fact, we were talking about that on an earlier episode, weren't we?
No. But, no, I mentioned that someone at school said, like...
So what is it about The Weeknd and Michael Jackson? Because The Weeknd is obviously commenting on plastic surgery in this.
Well, the difference is The Weeknd is The Weeknd. He has a stage name, Dad.
Okay, well, all right. Maybe we should get on to the actual music and not just the visual aesthetics.
I was going to say I have a lot of more interesting questions.
Okay.
So you probably just want to play this part anyway, just to remind people of it. But so is the big synth riff in the chorus from like an 80s tune or something, or pulled from something? Or is it like a knockoff of something that sounds like that? Because it sounds very 80s. So play the synth riff for a second just so people can hear it.
So the cool thing is how the synth part answers the vocal over time.
Yeah, it does. Kind of like an answer. Yeah. Or is an answer. But listeners who are adults and you live in a 80s synth world, what do you think? Does that sound 80s to you?
Yeah. So it's totally 80s. I don't want to guess exactly what
the influence
and patches, but it's like a very 80s synthesized string sound with like a decay and some echo on it, some reverb. Let me play you what I think it sounds like.
Is it from the Take On Me?
Over here, no.
Oh my gosh! Wait, just for the fun of it, play the Blinding Lights thing.
It would be lower.
Okay, well,
I think the Blinding Lights is a little bit of a different sound.
Yeah. Play the Save Your Tears one. You just recreate, oh my god. Listeners, isn't that so, like, agree with me. I think you got that correct. But I think they might have put, like, a little effect on it or something.
Yeah, and it's mixed in, but,
Wait, first of all, what kind of synth is that?
This is a Roland Super JP synth.
Okay. So,
and it's a synthesized string patch.
So since the question was, is the big synth riff from like an 80s tune, or is it like a knockoff of something? What's an 80s influence of this?
Okay, so I think I want to answer this more broadly, because there's other sounds. There's a lot of sounds in these tracks that, in both Blinding Lights and this one and some of his other songs, that reach directly back to the 80s, and not just like any 80s. But like the synth, sort of the darker sides of synth pop. But first, I actually want to play something by a band called Wham.
Okay. First of all, before you do that, I just want to shout out, I just want to mention that I feel like The Weeknd has such a unique and cool voice.
Yeah.
It's like, at first I thought there was like some sort of effect, like an auto-tune or something.
Or like he might be using auto-tune,
something
but
to
it's
gloss
very
it off, but it's very...
He's just such a good singer. He's like, it's very, like, silky, his voice.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. His tone is beautiful.
Yeah, okay, so what are you playing from Wham?
Okay, so I want to play Wham because I keep thinking about this moment in this Wham song and the way that the backing vocal and keyboard part, which is more of a bell sound in the Wham song, but the way that they answer the vocal, and then the way that they take you in harmonically to the next section. So listen to this, and let me know if it sounds at all like it makes you... Let me know if you think of Save Your Tears when you hear this.
Okay.
All I know.
Yes, that sounded a lot of Singer Tears. Well, the vocals, no, but the synth response to the vocals and the synth itself just
yeah, sounds. the way that the vocal comes back in, da, 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 and the Weeknd does. That's what I. It's the same melody.
Yeah, it is.
But I wanted to play you. So I wanted to play you a bunch of references of 80s sort of darker synth pop that I think really inform his production style and his whole vibe. And I can't draw very specific connections. But I can.
Other than that, I think that's a pretty.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
Also, just so you know, I have like more questions.
I know. Do you? So let me play you some examples.
All right. Bye.
This is a band called Flock of Seagulls, and it's a song called Space Age Love Song. Listen to the laser things that happen.
Oh yeah, this does.
And then you hear that synth string pad. Now there's more guitars in this.
Definitely more guitars.
But hear how straight that beat is?
Yeah.
So The Weeknd is, you know, on pop radio in 2020, comes out of an R&B background. There's lots of trap beats and hip hop beats on R&B radio. And his songs are all these like really straight beats that come right out of the 80s from like pop music made on drum machines. Just like
he does not have a trap beat.
You see that? TR-505 on my shelf there. That's a Roland drum machine from when I was growing up.
I was about to say the bass, but then I realized I was way wrong with it.
No, the white thing.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
let me bring it over for a sec.
No, I see it. Does it still work?
We'll post a photo of this on our Instagram. So this is called a Roland TR-505 Rhythm Composer. And do you see how there's just like buttons for different drums?
Yeah, is that vintage?
It is. And then you see how there's like a grid on the LED screen?
Uh-huh.
And you can program in where the beats go.
Oh, that's cool.
So, but the interface makes it very hard to program like super complicated beats. But it
like
makes
a trap beat.
Yeah, but it makes it very easy to program like something like this.
Yeah. Your tears for another day.
See, very straight.
Yeah.
Kick on one, snare on two, kick on three, snare on four, just eighth notes, straight eighth notes. And then the only other thing. And then the only other thing that makes it that beat really cool is that big clap that always happens. And it's the same drum machine, but it's treated really differently. It's put through a big reverb, so it sounds like this.
Dad, your thingy was going so fast.
Wait, no, that's not the clap. Hear that?
Oh, yeah.
So it's got those big claps.
No, I was going to say, Dad, your thingy was moving so fast.
What thingy? The waveforms?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry. So anyway. We got sidetracked. Can we move on to the next question?
Well, you ready to hear some more 80s samples?
How many?
Just like like three more songs. Here. This is a tiny excerpt from another Flock of Seagulls song called Wishing.
Okay. I just yawned. Excuse me.
Hear that with that big clap?
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm finding you all the influences. So you hear that That's the clap we just talked about.
We keep it playing. Oh, yeah, you can pause it.
Okay, so let me pull.
Boy,
up.
I hear these I hear this production that sounds so much like The Weeknd's production, and then the vocal comes in, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, I know. Well, the 80s vocals were very different. That's what makes The Weeknd's recorded output so far, like, really interesting to listen to, because he's got this sultry R&B voice, but he's taking all of these production, taking all these production elements from the 80s and, like, presenting them with this new vocal approach. So let me play you another influence I found.
Okay, I'm gonna just talk. This is very Weeknd. Except for that big thing that came in, like this. Yeah.
So interestingly, that song is called Masquerade. And it's by a band called Berlin.
Oh, they're from Germany.
But what I wanted to point out in that song, and this is something that they talked about a little bit on Switched on Pop episodes, so I don't want to claim credit for noticing this.
Dad, that episode was on Blinding Lights and Switched on.
Yeah, but they're talking. Okay, don't argue with me.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, Save Your Tears is a different song.
Yeah, but they're talking about The Weeknd.
Oh.
And The Weeknd's approach to songwriting and production.
Oh, so what is his approach? Tell me all.
Well, in that example, did you notice a lot of songs now start with like the chorus and the hook right at the top? But like
songs.
A lot of songs in the 80s, they would start with this, like the bass would come in and then you'd hear this big statement of like a keyboard melody.
Dad?
Yeah?
Not all songs start with the chorus. Actually, many pop songs don't.
But it's a thing. But these 80s pop songs often started with like a nice long intro where they would build it up and they would let you hear that keyboard melody. Was that not a good example?
No, it was a great example. I'm just correcting you that many pop songs don't.
Okay, let me pull up one more example here.
Is that Freddie Mercury?
No.
Okay.
It's a band called Talk Talk, and that's a song called It's My Life. And I just want to point to the combination that you're probably hearing in a few of these songs. Live electric bass, programmed drums, and lots of atmospheric synths. And one of the synths that you hear a lot are these really fake brass pads that sound like this. Here it gets like all wavery at the end.
Yeah.
And they get really spacey. Okay, anyway, enough synth demos. You get the idea.
Yeah.
You hear where he's pulling from.
We spent are we already at 45 minutes? So this song plays on the radio a lot. Well, not a ton, but yeah. But the sound is very different from, like, our typical pop song that we hear.
Mm-hmm.
What production aspects make this, like, different and retro and unique, but also fit The Weeknd's style?
I think I just kind of answered that. But what I would say is, like, broadly speaking, the beat being a very 80s straight-ahead 4/4 beat rather than, like, a slower trap beat. With those tickety-tockety hi-hats.
No, I can make a good trap beat with my mouth, ready?
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, hi-hats are used like as a ticky.
Yeah, I think he's really embraced an aesthetic of what I would call like dark synth. Dark wave synth with R&B vocals.
Yeah, I know hi-hats normally don't really like, are just a sound you hear all the time, but they do make a difference in the song Motive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
Motive is a good song.
Yeah.
With Doja Cat.
So Doja. Did I answer that question? I think I answered that question. I played a bunch of 80s stuff.
Yeah, you did.
I could play more 80s stuff. I could play The Psychedelic Furs, and I could play Real Life, Send
but
Me
did
an
I
Angel.
Ask you to?
You know I just want to go down an 80s nostalgia trip, right? These are the songs I grew up hearing on MTV.
I know.
Okay, next question.
You also grew up with Cyndi Lauper. I don't know why I brought that up.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper. I heard she had a really weird performance on New Year's Eve.
Like, not good?
Yeah. Okay, any more questions?
Yeah, totally. We got one more, dude.
Go.
Okay. So, what kind of drums does he use in the production? Like, because I can't tell if they're live drums or are they, like,
dude,
from a computer.
Were you sitting here for the last half hour?
Yeah, I was, but I don't know, because maybe they were... You know, yeah, they're from a computer.
I don't know if they're from an actual drum machine or a sampled drum machine. My guess is it's a sampled drum machine because it's a lot clunkier to use an actual drum machine now. But from my ear, it was a TR-707.
Cool. Wow. You answered, like, two other questions in just that 80s question.
Yeah.
Well, that cleans up our 10th episode.
What's your favorite part of the song, though? You want me to tell you mine?
What?
It's the bridge. Because it has that cool synth that comes in that goes...
Yeah, that synth's really cool.
Goes... And then his voice gets really...
I will...
Far away.
I'd run away. Cry.
I love
when
that little synth
I'll
that comes,
away.
And he's like, and they make his voice sound so far in the back, of like the universe that it's like, yeah, he really has run away. It's just like you're hearing just this memory of him. It's, yeah, almost like you shift from his perspective to her perspective. That's my interpretation of the production of the bridge. What do you think? Like when, yeah, you go to that bridge and his voice gets far away, are we like leaving his part of the scene and now going to her and seeing him from her perspective?
Yeah, that's cool. So that's your favorite part?
Yeah.
I'd say mine is, you know, this is probably always going to be my favorite part of any pop song, because, like, after the bridge, pop artists always jazz it up. Like, they do a little more doodle-doodle-doo, like going from note to note instead of just the regular. They,
like, melismas?
Some, yeah, and they go higher, like, ha, ha. Like, mm-hmm, like, after the bridge of a lot of songs, like, thank you. No, like, I'll make you cry when I run away. Like, mm-hmm, I'm sorry that took a while for me to think of.
So he does that and you like that?
Yeah.
It's, okay.
Because it brings out the R&B. I like that.
Mm-hmm. His vocal performance there, yeah.
Yeah.
I like how he sort of... I also like how he delays the Save Your Tears for Another Day. Like how it... You sort of think you're going to get to that part of the line, and then you don't. Take me back, 'cause I wanna stay. Save your tears for another
day. Save your tears for another day. Well, that's episode 10. end of season. Don't expect to get an episode out next. Don't expect us to get an episode out for the next 2 weeks, because we're taking a little break for season one.
Yes, but we will be back. So save your tears for another day. We will be back with season two.
No. No, it should be save your tuning in.
Save your tuning in for another day. Oh, that's good. All right.
I was going to say, we don't know the song we're going to do next, but we might do a song by a newcoming artist who has broken so many records.
Ooh, are you talking about the bureaucratic permit that allows you to operate a motor vehicle?
Yeah.
All right.
AKA, we shouldn't tell them. Let's see if they can figure that out.
Okay. All right. Well, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And thanks for listening. We'll be back in season 2.
Yahoo!
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.